What is going on, Suns fans? Justin here, and with me, as always, is my podcasting partner, Paul.
Dilly dilly!
And welcome to this episode of Fanning the Flames, your one and only Phoenix Suns podcast that is made for the fans, that is you guys, by the fans, that is us. You sound like you're going to say something right there.
A little bit of an interesting day.
Okay, calm down. Slow down.
No.
Slow down.
No.
As always, intro and outro music presented to you by Oceans Over Airplanes. Check them out on oceansoverairplanes.com. Okay, Paul, you were saying?
Some things happened related to the Suns today.
Right. Well, yeah. Some things did happen related to the Suns today. I think most importantly, though, we all have to acknowledge the fact that Josh Jackson cut his hair.
There's also a new hat. Did you see the draft hat?
No, I have not seen the draft hat.
It's but it's a draft hat. They're always like kind of eh.
Okay. Are you going to get it?
No.
Okay, well then. So Josh Jackson cut his hair, and there's a new draft hat that Paul's not going to buy. And
you're more of a hat guy than me anyway.
I am more of a hat guy than you are. And I feel like, let's talk about this Josh Jackson hair thing really quick, though, because it bothered me a lot.
What a lead off. Leading off with the C plot.
It scares me, and I made a comment about it on Twitter, and somebody had tweeted out, it's not like he's Samson. I'm a little concerned about that. Maybe he is. I don't know. We'll find out. But regardless, it seems like the Suns, granted, Elfrid Payton is not necessarily a son. Well, he still technically is, right? He cut his hair.
Josh yeah, but Jackson that was actually hair. Affecting his vision.
Right, but still, it's just like apparently that's a thing right now. So, okay, let's get off of Suns' hairstyles. And get on to
it's got a solid fade.
The bigger and greater news, which is
wait, you know you can buy his fro, right?
Like he's the one he cut off his head.
Yeah. Really?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that's something I actually have zero interest in buying. Which
yeah, I don't buy human hair.
Not often, at least. So, I'm going to officially christen June 6th. As DeAndre Ayton Day here in Phoenix, Arizona.
Maybe his number should be 66.
That would be sweet if he wore 66. I guarantee you he won't, no. But that would be sweet. So the big news coming down today, DeAndre Ayton had his draft workout, his pre-draft workout with the Phoenix Suns.
Which was phenomenal, according to McDonough, I believe.
I don't know that he said phenomenal.
I read phenomenal.
Did
in
you
quotes
read phenomenal?
Somewhere.
Maybe he did say phenomenal. Then I didn't see that. I watched the press conference, but I might have just glanced over that and not paid attention. But there certainly weren't any negative things that were said about it. He worked out for the Suns on a 1-on-0, if you will, workout
for about an hour.
I was
about to say Dragon Bender. I'm like, no. Who's the guy who busted between LeBron and
Darko Milicic,
the 1-on-0 workout.
Can we not use his name in the same breath as DeAndre Ayton's name, please? Please. Show some respect, man.
Put some respect on his name.
Sure, let's do that too. So, worked out for about an hour. I'm sure a lot of people out there listening watched the watch the press conference of McDonough, perhaps watch the press conference of DeAndre Ayton as well. And there are four things that I looked at and I took out of it just initially. There are a lot of other little things that we'll go through, but first of all, there was apparently a big turnout of Suns players at DeAndre Ayton's workout, which I get it's not unusual for Suns players. They have their morning thing and then they have the draft workouts going on later in the day, so it's not unusual for them to be there, but
and there's a lot of guys in town.
Right, but what McDonough said was that Booker, Jackson, Chris, Bender, Knight, Isaiah Cannon, and he said probably a couple other guys that he wasn't pulling off the top of his head right there, sat through and watched DeAndre Ayton's workout. Second, McDonough pointed out that those guys and Ayton are getting together and watching the NBA Finals game tonight. Which I thought was interesting because obviously there's already a connection that's brewing
right
there. Third, and this came from DeAndre Ayton himself, is that he's not going to be working out for any other teams. So one workout and he's done. And fourth would be the fact that DeAndre Ayton said point blank, I know I'm going number one. And when pressed on a little bit, he said it was just his own belief, wasn't anything the Suns had said to him, but I don't know. This kind of gives me a little inkling that he's got an idea as to where the Suns were thinking here.
Those are all solid points.
Thank you.
What I personally want to put out there right now is, and I've said this before, I am, with regards to the Ayton Doncic debate, I am agnostic. I like both players. Mm-hmm. I think both players would be very good on the Suns. I tried to be Switzerland in Suns Twitter on this situation because I did not want to go into the situation of being able to draft the number one pick and being disappointed by it. I mean, obviously, if we drafted Anthony Bennett, that's a whole different situation. But in this situation,
can we stop? Let's new rule the rest of this podcast. We are not allowed to mention the names of any horrible, horrible busts. Okay.
Okay.
I feel like your pessimism is coming out, even though you're not intending for it to come out. So let's tap the brakes, bro. All right.
All right. Okay. Done. Okay.
Continue, if you can.
With that point being, this draft has been talked about as it's a very strong draft, but at the same time, those two guys are either different pundits would have one above the other or both pretty equal. So I'm confident that whatever player the Suns get, they're going to get a good player.
Sure.
And so I'm really annoyed by a lot of the talk online where it just seems like it's either my guy and the other guy's going to be a bust. And like that's just how it's coming across, and that's not how we should be looking at this. Yeah, he may not be the guy you want. He may not be the guy you think is the way the NBA is going, which is because that's the argument right now a lot with choosing Doncic over Ayton is we're going to a very switchy, you know, guys who are 6'7", rangy kind of way. I don't know if that's going to be true going forward. You look at those NBA players that are under 25 right now, that next generation of stars that are coming up, a lot of those guys are big guys. You got Karl Anthony Towns. I mean, I think Anthony Davis was considered in that, but I think he just turned 26. But he is still, you know, the lead star of that next generation. You've got Joel Embiid. Ben Simmons is up there. I mean, yeah, Ben Simmons is kind of switchy because he's a 6'11 point guard or whatever he is.
He's still
big. A huge guy. Jokic. Nurkic, even. There's a lot of big guys out there. And that next generation, that's who you're going to have to defend. That's who you're going to have to play. We're not going to be in a situation in come next 5-10 years when these guys are going to be in their primes where we're looking at a situation where centers can't be on the court because they're just played off because it's a bunch of like 6-7 wings playing the game. It's going to shift back. We need to anticipate that.
And I think what you'll see, and we're already starting to see that, and I agree with you there, is these bigs, these quote-unquote centers, are going to become more of those nebulous-type players. You know, we talk about the positionless NBA, and I look at a guy like Ayton, and we'll get into this probably in more detail as we continue speaking here, but he's a guy that he's used the Shaq and Kobe analogy with him and Booker,
but they're very different players.
Not like he's going to play like Shaquille O'Neal.
No.
He's more athletic. He isn't a strictly back-to-the-basket, playing-down-low kind of guy. And McDonough brought it up during his press conference today. He said that Ayton shot the ball from three very well.
Very comfortably.
Very comfortably. You're right. That's what he said. And, you know, they asked McDonough, did anything surprise you throughout the workout? And he said nothing surprised me in a negative way, but he was surprised by how comfortable Ayton was shooting that three. And that's something that, frankly, I've been saying since I started trumping for Ayton, and that is that we haven't scratched the surface with this kid yet, and he has the ability to take the ball and shoot it from the outside. He has the ability to put the ball on the floor, but he just never really had to do that at U of A, and I think as he continues to develop, at this point, I'm quite certain with the Phoenix Suns that those skills are just going to continue to improve, and we're going to see that he's a guy that has the ability to step out, has the ability to guard as well, because I think, again, that he can develop into an excellent defender. I won't throw the word elite out there, but excellent defender in the NBA with the right tutelage.
Good.
Sure.
You know, because we don't have even good defenders on the Suns right now. But, yeah, I agree with that. I think he will be a player who can be that centerpiece. I think, you know, I was tweeting back and forth with somebody on Twitter today about it and started talking about Karl Anthony Towns. And when he came out of Kentucky, he was kind of looked at as kind of a one-note player, you know, because that Calipari offense or system, you look at it with Booker. Booker was a sniper. That was it. Nobody knew he had the rest of his game. Cat was the same way. Mm-hmm. He was a post player. Nobody knew he could stretch out to three. And we know coming out, Ayton has these skills. He flashed them. So where Cat's offense was a surprise and his defense was actually a disappointment, I think we're in a situation where we can run and have something similar where that defense may be a surprise because just he was kind of playing out of position at U of A. He was playing more four when he's really truly a five. But, you know, they had I don't know. I don't watch the U of A.
You should.
Pac-12 Network. And
you can find it.
It's not that important to me.
Well, you're an ASU guy. Basketball really shouldn't be that important to you because
I'm a USD guy.
same comment. Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that Ayton said during his press conference too, that kind of gets to your point and my point, is he mentioned the one-on-one attention that he got during the workout. He said the one-on-one attention was amazing, and he learned a lot from Kokoschkov and the other coaches during that. And he kind of alluded to the fact that this is what it's going to be like in the NBA. I'm going to be doing this full time. I'm going to get a lot of focus from these guys. And that type of daily focus on basketball, daily tutelage from guys who know what they're doing, hopefully, is going to, I think, help improve him both offensively and defensively. And obviously, we've spoken ad nauseum about how his offensive game is already refined. I think it's only going to improve. And again, that defensive game is going to improve. He made the comment during his press conference that he wants to anchor a team offensively and defensively. McDonough said that he has the ability to do that. Ayton said he wants to be the best two-way player in the league. So those are obviously high expectations. Will they be met? I'll be honest, probably not, because that's a high bar to set.
Yeah, it'd be
Tim Duncan. But at the same time, I think he'd get very close to that. And he was asked during his part of the press conference about the perceived weaknesses that he has, that being shot blocking and defense in general. And he brought up kind of what you were talking about, Paul, and that was he was playing out of position a bit in college. He was out on the perimeter a lot, guarding smaller players, which is going to happen in the NBA, right? Obviously.
Yeah.
But when you're not focusing on that much, there are going to be, you know, obvious and apparent weaknesses because it's not something that a guy that size is used to doing, especially, you know, coming up through the high school and AAU ranks and whatnot. Now, he also mentioned that when he was in college, he never really played defensively down low, and particularly didn't play defensively down low against anyone where he needed to focus himself down there. So the way U of A's defense was set up, it just didn't, what's the word I'm looking for here, didn't allow him to kind of show what he's going to have to do in the NBA.
And get the reps.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so I mean, there's obviously going to be growing pains, but I mean, I think he can be a starter day one, and he should be a starter day
yes.
one. And keeping, it'll probably be interesting. I wouldn't be surprised if the Suns may, if they choose to move one of those expiring salaries, whether it's Dudley or Chandler this year, it's more like, I think at this point it might be more likely to be Dudley just because they might want to keep Chandler around because as a defensive center, he can, maybe Ayton is that player who will actually learn from his tutelage.
Right.
More so than some of the, Len. Than Chris or Bender or even Alex Len in the past couple of years. So, I mean, you know, they're both, I mean, all those guys were high picks, so including Chandler. So,
right. But I don't think any of those guys we looked at with the adoration that we look at DeAndre Ayton with. Mm-hmm. At least not I did.
Right. No. Both, all three of those guys were in drafts that were much less touted. This draft, there's, you know, clearly 7-8 players in that top half of that, mm-hmm. or that top part of that draft that are all really, really good and expected to be something in the league. Obviously, you know, just the history shows that one or two of those guys may not live up to expectations, mm-hmm. a couple of those guys. But at the same time, you that you have drafts like, I mean, I don't want to compare this to 2003 at all.
Where don't
you
remember have, what, okay, go
where on. You have four of the top five players are Hall of Famers. Mm-hmm. I don't think that ever happened before. But it's, you know, this is a strong draft. This is for the first time in a while. Well, actually not the first time in a while, because last year they got, were able to draft high and in a pretty solid draft as well. But to be able to draft number one in a actual strong draft,
mm-hmm.
it's nice. It's not like we, the last couple times where we had higher picks, we also happened to fall in a year where the players you get to draft are not, you know, don't have the upside, don't have, or even the floor
right.
that I feel like Ayton has.
Sure. And I just totally lost my train of thought. I was going to say something, obviously.
You're welcome.
It's what we do.
We can cut this out in post.
Yeah, probably a good idea.
Probably won't.
Probably won't. Yeah, that seems like a lot of work to me.
That's off-brand.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, one thing that Ayton said, and I want to get your thoughts on this, and then I have another follow-up related, because it's related to Ayton, but I want to get your thoughts on this. He, somebody during his portion of the press conference said, you've obviously said you believe you're going to go number one. Why do you believe you're going to go number one? What, state your case for being number one. And he said, I'm the best competitor in the draft. I won't say I'm the best player, but I am the best competitor. And he went on to talk about his motor and his desire and all of that stuff. What do you think about him coming out and saying, I'm not going to say I'm the best player in this draft, especially in light of the most recent professional sports draft that we had being the NFL draft, and Rosen's comment about how teams made 9 mistakes in front of him and how much flack he got for that. But I think there's a certain expectation that professional athletes like that are going to have that level of hubris, if you will, or confidence. But did that come across to you in any sort of negative way? And I don't know if you actually saw that quote or heard him say it.
I did see that quote. I didn't actually physically, I didn't watch the press conference. I read about it, read the transcript. But I did see it. I mean, I like that there's a little bit of humility there.
Reading my notes, aren't you?
to the extent that, you know, he didn't want to say he's the best player because, you know, he's very much being compared to Luka Doncic, who is competing for that number one spot. You know, there's other guys like Marvin Bagley who put up arguably better stats than him
mm-hmm.
over at Duke. Jaren Jackson, Mo Bamba, all guys, these guys who have other skills that individually, like, they may individually be better than him in certain areas, but he may be from a totality between offense, defense, you know, coming out to the perimeter, playing down low, et cetera, be on the level better than everybody else.
Right.
But it's just, it's nice to see that, I don't know, just in general, everything I read, the few clips that I did see, he plays the media really well.
Oh, he handled himself amazingly well during that press conference. Absolutely. And, you know, from my perspective, I think guys coming out and saying, I'm the best player in the draft, is just such a canned thing to say.
Right.
And one thing, and I don't know if this went into his thought process at all or not, but there have been whispers about, you know, he doesn't show intensity. Somebody even during the questions directed at him asked if that had anything to do with, you know, his background from being from the Bahamas and it being kind of a laid-back country and whatnot.
Or it's just the heat in Arizona just gets to you.
Right. But I kind of wonder if he, knowing that those whispers are out there, felt like that this is what people need to know about me. And by all accounts, you know, Sean Miller came out, I think it was Sean Miller said in an interview, so at U of A they have a I think it's a, I don't know, a red jersey or something like that, that the player who is showing the most effort throughout practice gets to wear, you know, the following practice or for a week or whatever the case
Talking
might be.
Talking about
practice? Yeah, exactly.
Practice?
He, apparently DeAndre Ayton
Not a game?
The opposite Allen Iverson. But DeAndre Ayton had that jersey every single week last season for U of A. And I mean, it, on a team that has a couple of other draft prospects, has or had high-level recruits on that team, and that had veterans on that team, the fact that a number one recruit who was going into last year's college season expected to be a high draft pick and obviously is going to be a high draft pick, and who came with the fanfare as he did to U of A, was the guy who had the "you work hardest in practice" jersey on every single week of the season. I think that's telling. And I think DeAndre Ayton, in what he said in his press conference today, is basically backing that up. This is me. This is what I do. This is what I'm going to bring.
Putting it out there for those who are unaware of it.
Yeah, so, but I'm with you. I think the fact that he showed some level of humility through it all while handling himself, like we said, very well during that press conference was very positive, because it shows the character. I mean, you've got guys that have talent but might not have the character.
Right.
I don't know why this just popped in my head, but look at NFL example, Josh Gordon.
Yeah.
All the talent in the freaking world, and the dude can't find his way on an NFL field because he loves weed too much. Although I saw a picture of him today, he's apparently like in phenomenal shape right now, and if he keeps himself clean, that dude's going to be something else. But different topic for a different podcast. That'll be on my Cleveland Browns podcast that I don't do.
Yeah. You know, 0-16.
Well, they didn't have Josh Gordon, so.
They did not have Josh Gordon. But yeah, I mean, and that is to say, if somehow this ends up all being a smokescreen and we draft Luka Doncic, I'm going to be more than happy with that, too.
I would be shocked as well.
I mean, after today, I mean, I definitely would put my money on the idea that they're picking DeAndre Ayton. But if for some reason something happens, something changes, and we're surprised on draft day, like the Cleveland Browns movie.
I never saw it.
I didn't either.
Okay.
Nobody did.
Well, good reference then, Paul. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Moving on.
And Luka Doncic becomes the pick. Hey, even if somehow like Marvin Bagley comes in and he blows the Suns out of the water, or even Mo Bamba. I know Mo Bamba has had a... Mo Bamba's the guy who's saying he's the best guy in the draft. And that's what you need to do when you're like...
When you're Mo Bamba. I'm about as low on Mo Bamba as you can be. And maybe I'll be wrong, but I probably won't be.
I mean, Mo Bamba is a very one-dimensional player, and the Suns don't need a one... one side of the court.
We don't even need to have this conversation.
No, we don't.
We can stop. Okay. I guess you kind of delved into this a little bit already, but... Can we basically conclude at this point that DeAndre Ayton is going to be the number one pick? And not only with his statements, but, and we talked about this a little bit before we started recording, the fact that they actually had a formal press conference for him afterwards, that struck me as a little odd.
I know they do
the interviews afterwards, and they'll post those online and whatnot, but they live streamed a press conference for DeAndre Ayton. I mean, right. I was waiting for McDonough to walk over with his rookie contract and have him sign it.
He's like, here's your jersey, number one.
While you're
even
here.
Even though Booker's number one.
So, but I mean, I guess you already said you can put money on it. I don't see any situation where he isn't the number one pick. I mean, Marvin Bagley can come in and do a amazing workout. I still think that the Suns, this signals to me that they have their minds made up.
Well,
and I'm fine with that, obviously.
You can look at it that way. The other way you could look at it is just from the standpoint of, in most other years, the Suns haven't done a lot of this press conference stuff. But that kind of makes sense because where they were picking, there was so much variability in who they may be picking that going down that route, trying to tip any kind of hand, wasn't really in their favor.
Mm-hmm.
They control every single card on the board right now. So they could have a press conference for DeAndre Ayton. Hey, Marvin Bagley comes in. They may have a press conference for him,
too. That's what I was just going to say. It'll be interesting to see if they do that for any of these other guys that come in.
Right, yeah. If they don't do that for any of the other guys, it's a wrap. But I don't know, if somehow like Luka Doncic shows up and they have a press conference for him, it's a whole different story. That one might even be attended by more people. Just
because I almost feel like they kind of have to have a press conference for the other guys now that come in as potential number ones, you know?
Possibly, yeah. It'll be interesting to see. Like I said, it'll just be interesting to see what happens.
Because they've got more coming in this week. That's what McDonough said.
Yeah.
Through Sunday. I'm not sure. I don't think he said specifically who or when.
Bagley, Bamba, Jaren Jackson.
I thought McDonough opened the press conference in a very McDonough-y and very appropriate way. He asked everybody that was there. He goes, "Oh, nice of everyone to be here. Why weren't you guys here last week when we were working out a bunch of guys that we might pick at 59, which got a little bit of a chuckle from the crowd. Yeah, yeah. So one thing too, okay, last thing with what Ayton said, okay, maybe second to last thing, was when he was asked about who he tries to model his game after. And, right. You know, he's mentioned the Shaq thing before, and I've seen some comparisons thrown out there, but he brought up KG.
That's an interesting choice.
Go on.
Well, I mean, just from the standpoint that, I mean, KG was an all-world defender. I mean, yes, he was a good offensive player, but he was arguably top two defender in the history of the NBA. I don't know who would be number one, but he is so good.
You don't want to commit to one, though?
No, I don't know who else would be who the other guy would be in that conversation, which is why I said top two. Because there might be somebody I'm forgetting. But, I mean, he is so excellent at defense. And for a guy who the weakness everybody knocks him as is his defense, mm-hmm. that's a very interesting comparison to make about yourself.
And maybe it goes back to his whole comment about how he's the hardest worker, the best competitor in the draft, and he wants to improve himself, or at least the perception of himself.
Everybody incessantly.
That would be interesting because he's been a very low key guy. Also, he's like, "Well, I really got to take on this KG persona."
Shaves his head backwards so it gives a little like Velcroitis, so he can wear like half a hoodie.
Is that what KG did? I did not know.
You need to start watching Area 21 on TNT. Yeah, KG. Whenever you see pictures of him nowadays, he wears like thin like t-shirt style like hoodie shirts. But like he always has like half his head, it's just sitting on like half his head.
Interesting.
And apparently the way that does that is because he shaves against the grain, so it leaves just enough stubble to cause friction for it to stay up there.
Hashtag science. Wow. Learn something new every day. Learn something new every day. Okay.
The more you know.
Last thing maybe on Ayton here. And that is he obviously mentioned that he's not working out for anyone else. It's not uncommon for players, draft prospects, to say, "I don't want to work out for a team."
Right.
And I did a little research. And when I say research, I mean I Googled it, and I found an article from last year on The Ringer and took most of it from that. But, I mean, we look back last year, Lonzo Ball didn't work out for the Celtics, and we all remember everyone's favorite non-workout, which was Josh Jackson and the Celtics also last year when Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens were on a plane flying from Boston to Sacramento to see him work out, and apparently while in the air got a call from his agent saying, "Oh, he doesn't have time." That might be my favorite Ryan McDonough move ever, because obviously he never said it, but God, we all know that McDonough was behind that. And I think that was genius, because I obviously was very high on Jackson and still remain very high on Jackson. 2015, Porzingis refused to work out for Philly, and then Philly ended up drafting Jahlil Okafor, even though Jahlil Okafor also did not work out for them and told them specifically not to draft him. That didn't work out very well. The one time that I was able to find in this article when a number one pick only, at least as of late, only worked out for one team was Cat back in 2015. And he initially didn't want to work out for either of the two teams with the first two picks, being the Wolves and the Lakers, but eventually decided to work out for just the Wolves and obviously got drafted by the Wolves. So maybe that's a little foreshadowing there. And I'll bring up one more because I thought this one was interesting and a little painful as well. And you'll see why here in a second. And I didn't realize this, but Steph Curry, back in 2009, remember when the Suns thought we had Steph Curry?
Yeah, that was a... imagine if Twitter really existed. I think it technically existed, but it didn't exist.
Right, right, right. Imagine Facebook probably blew up with it, though, right? But he did not work out, refused to work out for the Warriors.
Yeah, the Warriors were trash.
Worked out well in the end for the Warriors.
And they had Monte Ellis.
Right. And Steph Curry and his team, if you will, really wanted him to be a Knick, apparently. So I thought that was interesting that he refused to work out for the Warriors. Ends up getting drafted by them anywhere. Nick. And then apparently Steph Curry did.
Well, it was 2009. They weren't that bad.
So, but at any rate, I think just looking at that history, again, it's not uncommon, but the one time that I was able to find it being a situation with the number one draft pick, that guy ended up going to that team. So again, perhaps that's telling when we start talking about where the Suns are going to go with this pick here in 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Get excited, Paul. Get excited.
Yeah, it's coming up.
It's coming up. So, okay, let's take 1 minute here and delve onto a different subject. And that is what I like to say every time we have stolen from the solar panel. But not so much stolen from the solar panel, guys, but just taken their lead in appreciating our listeners and our fans, all ones and ones of them. Right, Paul? And
halves.
Halves and halves. We'll want to give a shout out to one of the folks who has recently rated and reviewed our podcast on Twitter, excuse me, on iTunes. And this one comes from Boyd Crowley, hopefully I pronounced it right. I feel like I should be Crowley. I'm going to say Crowley. Anyway, Boyd's a good dude. We interact with him a lot on Twitter. And he says, "My favorite Suns podcast, Justin and Paul, keep me in the loop back here in Brisbane, Australia, in case you're wondering."
We got two fans in Brisbane.
We apparently, you know, we're big in Australia. That's what it is. I don't know why. But anyway.
Shout out to Raf.
Hey, what's up, Raf? How you doing, buddy? And highly recommend. Great listen with three little Phoenix Suns emojis afterwards. 5-star review. So, Boyd, thank you very much, bro. Much appreciated. And, you know, he actually had a screenshot this and sent it to me because apparently if you have people rating and reviewing in other countries, you don't get to see it when you look at it in the States.
Just don't understand how it works.
Well, I'm pretty sure it's not that complicated. I think I got it figured out pretty well. I mean, you just look at the page, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe we have
maybe other, there's like a drop down that you like have to look
change
at
world. Your country. Yeah, maybe. Maybe we have other like ratings and reviews from like Cambodia or something. Who knows?
Canada.
Don't know why Cambodia was the first country that popped in my head, but it was.
Is Cambodia still a country?
I don't know. I just remember you ever hear the Dead Kennedys song "Holiday in Cambodia"?
No.
You should listen to it. Everyone out there should listen to it. I guarantee you, 95% of the people probably hate it because Dead Kennedys is very
abrasive. No,
it's not abrasive. It's just a different sound than what we're used to these days. But at any rate, again, different podcasts for a different time.
It's made with real instruments instead of like just a keyboard.
Absolutely real instruments. And little fact for you, Paul. You probably don't know this because I can tell you're not a big Dead Kennedys fan. Lead singer's name. You ready for this? Jello Biafra. Best name in the history of the universe as far as I'm concerned.
Spell that one.
Jello?
Jello.
J-E-L-L-O. Like how I sang it a little bit there, too. Okay. So that's that. Thank you very much. If you guys are listening out there, hop on iTunes, give us a review, rate us, and perhaps next time we will read it on our podcast. If you're not in the United States, feel free to DM us and send us a screenshot because apparently, again, that's the only
DMs
way
are
see.
Open.
DMs are open. Okay, Paul, what do you want to talk about?
Do we want to talk about a couple options?
Don't ask me. You tell me, bro.
No, I'm going to throw out some options.
Okay.
And
trying to give you some control here.
I don't want control. We can talk about assuming that Aiden is the pick, what the Suns are going to do with the rest of the offseason, what we want them to do.
Or
we can talk about the craziness that is the Brian Carlangelo situation.
I like that. Let's talk about that. Because I feel like we covered the Ayton, if Ayton gets picked thing. We did that a couple podcasts ago. Yeah. And I don't know. We're just going to say the same stuff. We'll probably say different stuff because I don't remember what we talked about, frankly. Yeah. But
or we might say exactly the same stuff.
We could. We're not very creative. Yeah, let's talk about the Colangelo thing, because that is quite the...
Yeah, what the F? What the...
I think you summed that up quite well. So, you know, it's obviously a weird, crazy situation. There is a awesome Paul-level conspiracy theory out there about it, which I'm sure you saw. But if not, oh, I'll go into it. Why don't you indulge us? Why don't you give us your thoughts, Paul? Tell us what you think about Brian Colangelo or, well, his wife.
Whatever. I don't know. Sometimes the...
This is why I don't talk to my wife that much, just first of all. I'm just going to say that.
How many burner accounts do you have?
If I told you that, I don't want to tell you. You know that guy you've been arguing with on Twitter all night? That's me.
That was kind of weird because we were in the same room and you weren't on your phone.
Oh.
I've got... You've got ways and means.
I have no explanation how I would do that.
But
I've got my burner account also has a burner tweeter. Boom, nailed it. Okay, go on.
You have them pre-populated, ready to go.
Because you know, I know you so well. All right,
but yeah. Anyways, it just sometimes boggles my mind because we've seen it so many times in the last couple years. Just the internet is undefeated. You can't mess around with this stuff, you're gonna get caught.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, this is probably one of the most unique circumstances of it. And I can see the idea. We already know that players have burner accounts, mm-hmm, after the KD situation, sure, from earlier this season. But for a GM or a coach or a family member of one of those to have burner accounts and trash their own players,
mm-hmm,
is just insanity. And they got busted because they defended his callers? That's craziness. I mean, I know this is the Philadelphia 76ers, and they're not the Suns, and this is a Suns podcast, but being that the Colangelos are, at least Jerry is Suns royalty, Brian is...
He was here.
He made some good moves. Yeah. He helped create 7 seconds or less.
I don't think you need to explain to people why there's a connection, Paul. I think if you're listening to this podcast, you probably get it.
Yeah. Touche. I don't know. Some of those guys in Brisbane, they may not know the true history of the Suns. Came in a little late.
I feel like you don't need to insult them like that. Come on.
I'm not. I'm just educating. But it's such a weird story. It's so fun to watch as an outsider. And so happy I'm not in the middle of it.
It's nice to see there's a dysfunction out there that's not here in Phoenix.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's nice. Well, I don't want to say nice, but it's interesting to see just kind of how NBA Twitter reacted to it, how NBA players are reacting to it. I mean, some of the stuff, like Joel Embiid just owns Twitter. Mm-hmm. And he... responded to this perfectly. Did you see today he posted like sip? Like, have you seen the meme of Kermit the Frog drinking tea?
No.
That's like a meme of like, I'm just going to be over here drinking my tea while you're on your bullshit over here. And he's just like, sip.
Yeah. Embiid's Twitter is quite phenomenal.
Yeah. It's easily one of the best in the NBA. But I mean, when you're looking at a situation, I mean, this is the NBA. It's a players' league. The players are the currency. The players are your product. You don't fuck with that.
Agreed.
And if there's you, how are they going to bring him back? The craziness is that they want to keep him. I mean, I know obviously Jerry has a lot of sway there and he's trying to save his son's job, but I mean, you're looking at a situation where if they come out and say he's staying, I wouldn't be surprised if you see some of those players go, I'm going. And then you've got Embiid on the market. You might have Simmons on the market. Everything the process was could be out the window. And because this guy's wife was trying to defend him and just made a wrong choice on how to do it.
Made
five.
Multiple, yes. five times however many tweets there are out there, yes.
Yeah.
I think from that whole situation, my favorite tweet out of all of that was the one where she made a comment about other executives and whatnot just being trust fund babies. And it's like, who's Brian Colangelo's dad again?
How did Brian Colangelo get a job in the NBA?
If there's a trust fund baby in the NBA, and I'm not saying he is, but I'm just saying if there is.
Yeah, I mean there's the Buss family.
But is what Jeannie was involved with it? Is she still involved? She is, but she's not.
She fired her brother.
That's right. I forgot about that.
She's not the. She's the president.
Well, let's put it like this then. At least they're all within the same like realm. You know what I mean? Well, they were until the whole firing of the brother thing. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's the worst possible example of a pot calling a kettle black, I think, if she's complaining about other NBA executives being trust fund babies.
Right.
That's my point. So conspiracy theory that came with this.
Okay.
I'm surprised.
I'm all down for conspiracy.
I know. I'm surprised you didn't hear this. Maybe
I
you
may have,
and
I'm
yeah.
just not realizing this. Time.
So the whole Colangelo thing could end up forcing Colangelo out, right?
Right.
And that would mean that they need to find somebody to fill his role, right?
Right.
And who's a free agent this summer? Kind of big deal. What's his name? LeBron James, yes. And is there an executive out there that LeBron James has a very good relationship that is currently looking for other employment?
Sam Hinkie?
Try again.
Dave Griffin?
Yes. So Colangelo gets forced out, and then they replace him with Griffin, and then they get LeBron. This also, I think, came out before it was discovered as his wife, but still.
Still.
Maybe his wife's in on it.
I know. He was, it makes sense. I don't know if LeBron to the Sixers is the best move for either the team or him, but I mean, at the same time, it's LeBron James, and if he wants to come to your team, you move mountains to make that work.
Yeah, I don't see if he goes knocking on the Sixers' door, I don't see them saying no.
Yeah, nah, we're good here with a guy who can't shoot and a guy who has trouble staying on the floor.
Which one can't shoot?
Ben.
Okay, I'm just checking.
Well, two guys who can't shoot.
Markelle Fultz, not that he can't shoot, he just forgot how to do it. But yeah. Apparently he's rediscovering that. I hope he does, because I like Markelle Fultz.
But yeah, I mean, that would be an interesting move, definitely. But I honestly, I'm just more interested if like some crazy, like one of those guys is like, I'm out, I can't trust.
Right.
You guys move me.
And they haven't made a decision yet, right?
No, but it
I don't
sounds
see
like
how
they're
can,
leaning
that's
towards
insane
trying to keep
to
him right now, because they're taking the position that he was unaware that his wife was doing that.
Okay.
But the problem
are
is...
Are they conditioning...
She was voicing his opinions.
Right. Are they going to condition his staying on a divorce, maybe? Like, I can see that.
His wife's not allowed to have access to computer technology.
I like the divorce thing better. It's a little more extreme. That's what I would do if I was... See, we tried, but he wouldn't divorce his wife to keep his job. No, I can't... It's... To me, it's a no-brainer. You got to cut ties with the guy. But, you know, I'm not the 76ers owner or other management-level employees, so...
One of which being his own father.
Right. Maybe Brian Colangelo doesn't want to be there anymore. He's hoping... Maybe he told his wife to do it, hoping he would get fired because he just wants to chill with all of his trust fund money.
Maybe. So, have you ever watched NBA Desktop on The Ringer?
No.
You should. It's hilarious. It's
okay.
Awesome. It's only like, it's YouTube 7-minute videos, comes out twice a week.
Okay.
This last one, because this story broke, they had this joke where as the episode was going on, Jason Concepcion, who's the host, they kept making his collar bigger and bigger and bigger.
Because Brian Colangelo wears psychotically large collars.
Yeah.
I don't get that. Never got that. I don't even know where you get shirts like that.
Custom. Because, of course, they're custom. How do you tell the tailor? I want my collar to come up to my earlobes.
You know what collars usually look like? Yeah, I do. I want four of those stacked on top of each other.
You know those pictures from like the early 1900s where the collar was just like straight up, right? Didn't even fold over. I want that, but with the fold.
You think Brian Colangelo like sat around one day thinking, I need to make like a fashion statement. What can I do? Huge collars.
Or does he think he had too long of a neck?
He's trying to hide it.
Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows what's going on under those collars, right? Okay. So, off the 76ers. But remember, as Paul so eloquently explained, there is a connection to the Phoenix Suns there, in case you don't know that.
Hey, I got you, foreigners.
Jeez. Okay. Anyway, Paul, anything else you'd like to discuss here this evening?
I'm good.
All right. Well, in that case, I guess we will go ahead and wrap up this episode. Careful. We'll probably be back here before the draft, and then, Paul, have you committed to Summer League yet? You asked me. That means you're committed, right?
I need the approval of the wife.
Why are you asking me? Then you're just teasing me?
Because I want to know if I need to ask for the approval.
Yes. What? Come on, man.
Just making sure.
Come on.
I want to go. I definitely would be down.
All right. Well, hopefully we make that trek, and if we do, we'll give our little
that up
insight.
Again.
I mean, if the Suns take Ayton, I feel like we can't not go.
Right.
That's the only downside. If the Suns were to take Doncic, which, again, I don't think is going to happen, he wouldn't be there.
Right, because he's played so many damn games right. Over the past year. He needs the rest.
Exactly. So we'll be around. We'll be around here this summer. Again, we check in every now and then, leave the regular pod up to the solar panel guys and the guys over at Locked On. But once the season starts, we'll be back rolling. We like to just check in every now and then, make sure you guys don't forget about us entirely. Now that I put that out there, now that we've said what we need to say, happy DeAndre Ayton Day, everybody. Remember, June 6th next year, we'll celebrate again. Unless they don't take him, then we won't celebrate. Maybe we'll still celebrate. Why not? Hey.
As we watch him on the Kings.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, jeez. Along with their other 17 young big men that they have up there. But anyway, as always, folks, thank you very much for listening. We appreciate it. Hop on iTunes. Rate, review. We'll give you a shout out when I remember to do it. And until next time, depending on when you're listening, have a good morning, good afternoon, or good evening.
What's up?